This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
What up, everybody? This is Spencer, and you are listening to my dad and his Handgun World podcast. The reason he carries a gun is because he can't carry a cop.
Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done.
The deal was made. Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. Episode 231, to be exact. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Well, this week I'm going to talk about calibers. And I'm going to try to avoid the caliber arguments or the caliber wars in terms of which one's better and which one's not. This episode is kind of inspired because I've received several emails lately from listeners that are relatively new to shooting. And they're having a hard time understanding some of the different caliber discussions out there, like 9mm, 40, 45, 357 SIG, 45 Gap, stuff like that, although 45 Gap's really not all that popular. 357 Magnum, 38 Special, stuff like that. So I'm going to cover that stuff. Now, I want you to understand that I am not a caliber expert or a ballistics expert or even a gun expert. Most people know who listen to my show. I'm an everyday guy. I don't come from a military or a law enforcement background. I wasn't a gunsmith in a former life or anything like that. On the side, I do some firearms training and a couple of other little ventures that help pay for this hobby, this shooting hobby that I have. And that's really about it. I do some training classes with Suarez International and Ben Branham. And we pretty much have a fun time just kind of doing that part-time. My full-time job, most of you know, I drive around as I'm doing right now. I'm in my mobile studio, the Handgun World mobile studio. I'm a sales guy. I go out selling hotel security products around Texas and Louisiana. And there's not somebody else in the car with me. You hear my GPS telling me where to go. Just wanted to throw that in there. So let's get right into the caliber stuff here. Okay. Let's start with the major calibers. And again, you have to forgive me if you're an experienced shooter. I got to tell you, if you're someone real experienced, this episode might not be for you. Because you've been around this so long, you pretty much know this stuff. This podcast is directed to the newest shooters out there that listen to this podcast. And there's quite a few of them because I get emails from them. Let's start with the major calibers that most people use for concealed carry and that law enforcement typically uses for duty. When you hear 9mm, you are hearing about the 9mm Luger. Basically, the 9mm Luger or the 9mm Parabellum is what it's also called. It's the most popular caliber in the world. By far, without a doubt, it's the most popular caliber in the world, worldwide. You know, that caliber has been used by military and law enforcement in other countries. It's probably, I would say, the most popular concealed carry caliber, simply because there's just so much ammo out there available for the 9mm, and I'm going to get into that, by the way. There's been some changes in the ammo supply, and there's just a lot of pistols that have been made chambered in 9mm, because it's been used for so long and so worldwide. So if you want a pistol, and again, we're talking pretty much pistols in this episode, I'm not going to get into rifles very much. If you want a pistol that is chambered in the most popular cartridge, where you can pretty much go anywhere in the world and find ammunition for it, it would be the 9mm. And we've seen just a huge plethora of 9mm pistols on the market. Two of my favorite, as most of you know, one of them is the Glock 19. I just simply love the Glock 19. I'm wearing it today in my car as I dictate this podcast. A lot of Glocks in 9mm. A lot of Springfield XDs and Smith & Wesson M&Ps in 9mm. Also good guns. Carr Arms makes excellent 9mm. I love the PM9. The Smith & Wesson Shield, M&P Shield, in 9mm and 40 caliber. There's just so many really nice concealed carry packages in 9mm. It's also been, for many years, considered the minimum effective caliber for concealed carry. Now, because of good ammo technology, the 380, and I'm going to talk about that, by the way, the 380 ACP, which is really the official name of that cartridge, has really made a lot of gains in terms of being a viable self-defense cartridge. But for a long time, people said, you know, nothing less than a 9mm. And so that's one of the reasons why it also became popular for concealed carry. 9mm is called that because it is because the bullet is 9mm in diameter. The typical weights of the 9mm you're going to see out there, probably by far the most typical, is a 115-grain bullet. And you're going to see a lot of 115-grain FMJ, which means full metal jacket. You're going to see a lot of that out there for practice ammunition, range ammunition, and for training ammo. You're also going to see 124-grain. Speer Gold Dot, for example, makes 124-grain in the Plus P and the standard pressure loads for concealed carry. You're also going to see 127-grain. For example, I like to carry the Ranger SXT. Excuse me, the Ranger T series. The Ranger T series, which stands for Talon series. It's the 127 grain Plus P Plus. And I'll get into Plus P. Well, let me go ahead and cover that. Plus P means increased pressure, is what that means. Plus P Plus means a whole lot of increased pressure, okay? Which means it's going to be pushing the bullet faster. Typically, velocity means a greater transfer of energy when it hits its target and more reliable expansion. That's typically what that means. And again, if I leave something out, that's one of the reasons why I have a voicemail. You can call the voicemail and I'll, you know, give me some more details. By the way, next week's going to be a voicemail episode. So all of you who've been calling in, that's great. So if you got some more information about the calibers and so forth, you'll be on next week amongst the other voicemails. 210-646-1727 is that number. So 127 grain. You'll also see 147 grain. And to the best of my knowledge, that's the largest bullet that is made for the 9mm caliber. 147 grain. I've got some 147-grain ammo. I like to practice and train with 147-grain FMJ if I can find it. Some of that is subsonic ammo, depending on how much pressure it's loaded with. A lot of the 147-grain standard pressure ammunition is subsonic. In other words, it's traveling slower than the speed of sound. So that's fun stuff to practice with. I really like the recoil impulse of the 147 grain, especially when shooting it out of my Glock 19 or my Glock 17. Now, I don't like the 147 grain out of my small pistols like the Carr PM9 or the M&P Shield that I own in 9mm. But for defensive purposes, most of what you're going to see is you're going to see 115 grain. You're going to see a lot of 124 grain, some 127. I really like double tap ammo, and double tap, I recently purchased some. They've got some 90 grain 9mm that really goes fast. I mean, like, in the neighborhood of 1,400 feet per second. I think it's like 95 or 90 grain, and I bought some of that. I really, as I've mentioned many times on this podcast, I really like the solid copper Barnes X bullets. You'll find those in Corban DPX ammo. It's a solid copper, very deep cavity bullet to aid in very reliable expansion. The nice thing about the copper bullet, what they say, a lot of ballistic tests that I've been looking at and on YouTube and also written reports, the solid copper bullet has excellent weight retention and also excellent barrier penetration. So you kind of get the best of all worlds. And I've been buying a lot of that from Double Tap lately. They also load 9mm in 115 grain, and I believe like, you know, slightly under 100 grain in the Barnes X load. By the way, you might hear some of the the rain hitting the windshield here. We're finally getting some nice rain, too, once again here in South Texas, in San Antonio, the Alamo City, where I currently live. Anyway, that pretty much kind of covers the caliber for 9mm. Again, the names that you're going to see 9mm Luger, 9mm Parabellum, pretty much all the same stuff. Don't confuse it with the 9mm Kurz. That is the German word for short. 9mm Kurz is the same as 380. A regular 9mm Luger is 9 by 19. 9mm by 19 millimeters. That's a standard 9mm. You will also see 9 by 18. That is not standard 9mm ammunition. For those of you who are new, that is the 9mm Makarov. Some of the older Makarov pistols that come from the World War II area and even slightly after World War II, they are chambered in 9 by 18. Do not shoot that in a standard 9mm pistol. And the 380 is really a 9mm round. I don't know if you know that or not, but the bullet is 9mm in diameter. It is 9 by 17. 9 by 17 is the 380. So really, if you think about it, that cartridge is only 2 millimeters shorter. I should say the bullet is only 2 millimeters shorter. 9 by 17 versus a 9 by 19, a regular 9mm. I do not know why it's called the 380 ACP. And by the way, ACP means automatic Colt pistol. I think it might have something to do with the Colt Mustang that is... You know, the Colt Mustangs, when they were making those, that's the single action that looks like a miniature 1911. And it's pretty much the pistol that SIG sort of copied when SIG came out with the P-238. They kind of copied the old Colt Mustang. So maybe that's why it's called the 380 ACP. But one of the reasons why 380 has become so much more effective than it used to be is because ammunition manufacturers have really advanced over the years, and they have learned to make ammunition with excellent terminal ballistics. But I just wanted to point that out. There's really, in terms of actual size, there's not much difference between 380 and 9mm in terms of the bullet. So when somebody says to you, that 380 is a little pea shooter, you're not going to be able to do anything with that 380. All you're going to do is piss them off. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, funny, funny. Most people don't really know what they're talking about when they say that. Okay, I think you're going to do quite a bit more than just piss somebody off if you shoot them with a 380. That kind of goes back to the old days when ammo wasn't as good. And 380 was a weak cartridge back in the old days. There are still some people that think that it doesn't penetrate very well. And some people, when they carry a 380, they carry full metal jacket ammunition to get the penetration. All the research I've done on 380, I'm very confident with the right hollow points. And once again, Double Tap and Underwood Ammo, a couple of custom manufacturers of ammunition. Boy, check out their websites. Go to doubletapammo.com and underwoodammo.com. Look at their 380 loads. Look at the ballistics. Look at the velocity and the expansion ballistics on their 380 loads. It's pretty effective, folks, even out of some of the small little 2.5 or 3-inch barrels that we shoot them out of with these little pocket pistols that so many of us own. So check that out. There's a little bit of an education on the 380. So I've kind of covered the 380, and I've covered the 9mm in terms of basic terms. Again, I'm trying to keep this as basic as possible for the new shooters. I'm trying not to get into a lot of, I think, really boring ballistics stuff. You know, I've always said if you're having trouble falling asleep at night, if you have insomnia, get on the internet and start reading ballistics information. Just start reading terminal ballistics. Just pick a caliber, anything, and start reading all of the reports. You'll be asleep within about 10 to 12 minutes, guaranteed. Okay. So basically what I'm covering is there. I've had, insomnia quite a few nights, and so I've needed to go to sleep. So what I'm covering with you is a large collection of numerous times of spending 10 minutes trying to go to sleep reading ballistics information. And I've kind of put it all together for you. Okay, let's go to the 40 caliber. The 40 caliber is the most widely used caliber by law enforcement today. Law enforcement switched to the 40 caliber for a various number of reasons. Keep in mind something. A 40 caliber round is 10 millimeters in diameter. Now, it's not the same as a 10 millimeter load, and I'll get to that. But it is 10 millimeters in diameter. So it's only 1 millimeter larger than a 9 millimeter. Typical weights is like 160 grain or 165 grain. And I've even seen some 180 grain 40 caliber loads. So it's a significantly heavier bullet. You know, the average 40 caliber is probably going to be 40 to 50 grains more than a 9 millimeter, which is a significant jump in bullet weight. Now, the 40 caliber was kind of designed to be a good mix or a good, what am I trying to say? Kind of a good midpoint between 9 millimeter and 45. People wanted the velocity of a 9 millimeter, but they wanted the impact of a heavier bullet. So the 40 caliber was born to be somewhere in between the 9 millimeter and the 45. Now, it's debatable whether it really ever accomplished that. But law enforcement thinks so. And so you see a lot of 40 caliber ammo, especially in the United States. Now, one reason you see a lot of 40 caliber ammunition in the United States is because it's extremely popular with law enforcement. Law enforcement needs ammunition, so that's why you see a lot of ammo available in 40 caliber. As a matter of fact, I've heard people tell me right now that 40 caliber these days is probably easier to find than 9 millimeter. Not where I live. I can find 9 millimeter just as easily as I can find 40. But again, there's different reports. I was in Houston the other day traveling on business, and I found a bunch of 9 millimeter. There's a gun shop in Katy, Texas, AJC Sports in Katy, Texas. They had a whole bunch of Winchester White Box 9 millimeter. It wasn't exactly cheap. It is coming down in price, but I did buy 2 100-round boxes of Winchester White Box 9mm. They had no 40 caliber available. So, you know, there you go. It's kind of a crapshoot, really. So I know I'm getting a lot of reports from some people that say, "Oh, Gabe, Bob, guess what? I see tons of 9mm." And somebody else says, "I don't see any. I see 40 caliber." And some say, "I don't see any 9 or 40. I see all kinds of 45. Once again, folks, it's a regional thing. I don't think you can really make gun purchase decisions based on the availability of ammo because it seems to be fluctuating. Anyway, 40 caliber, very widely used by law enforcement. It is a 10 millimeter bullet. The casing is not as large as a standard 10 millimeter. It was shortened. And so, therefore, it's supposedly not quite as powerful as the 10 millimeter. But there's nothing wrong with a 40 caliber load. And once again, folks, I'm not going to argue the ballistic effectiveness. That's not my goal on this podcast. My goal is not to talk about ballistic effect. I already did a podcast on that. And I might do some more. My goal on this is to talk about what are the differences, especially for new shooters, because some people get kind of confused. So lots of good guns out there in 40 caliber. 40 caliber is definitely here to stay. It's incredibly popular. And again, all the same ammunition manufacturers that make good 9mm, they all make good 40 caliber. And that's, you know, pretty much kind of what I wanted to cover on 40. Now, let's talk about 45 ACP. ACP stands for Automatic Colt Pistol. The Colt 1911, when it was first designed by John Browning, it was designed to shoot the 45 ACP cartridge. The 45 Automatic Colt Pistol. The venerable 45. America's caliber, right? because it's been in service and it's been serving military and even some occasional law enforcement for many, many, many years. It's an effective cartridge. Once again, I'm not going to argue the ballistics differences here. 45 caliber ACP. You'll notice some ammo is described in millimeters and some is described in caliber. A 45 caliber, a 45 ACP, is an 11 millimeter bullet. So you got 9 millimeter, you got 40 caliber, which is 10 millimeter, and 45 ACP, which is 11 millimeter. The 45 ACP bullet weights typically come in 230 grain, 185 grain. I just recently bought some 160 grain double tap ammunition. And it's got pretty good velocity. So for shooting it out of my 45 pistols, it's got real good velocity. And I'm looking for some velocity. It's got pretty good impact. You'll notice that the double tap ammo that I bought, the 160 grain, well, that's about the same bullet weight as a typical 40 caliber. But it's 45. So I specifically wanted to buy some ammo that had some serious velocity. And it's the Barnes X all copper bullet, which I like. So I think it'd be pretty effective. So if you think about the typical 230 grain, for example, typical 230 grain load of 45 ACP, well, that's exactly twice the bullet weight of a typical 9mm. Typical 9mm being 115 grain, the 45 being 230 grain. But you're giving up velocity. You know, you're going to be at 850 feet per second or 900 feet per second, typically, with a standard pressured 45 ACP load, where you're going to be at probably about 1,200 feet in that neighborhood, somewhere around 1,150 to 1,250 with a standard 9mm. So again, there's always trade-offs. The heavier bullet, the slower it goes. The smaller the bullet, the faster it goes. Do you believe in small and fast, or do you believe in big and slow? Or as Ben Branham puts it, big and dumb. He calls the 45 ACP a big dumb cartridge. If you go back and listen to some of the earlier podcasts, you'll hear why he calls it that. No hate mail, by the way, folks. I'm not calling the 45 ACP dumb or stupid. I'm not saying people who own those guns are dumb or stupid. It's just a joke. Just a joke, all right? So just an attempt at humor. So you got a significant amount of bullet weight. And, you know, the most popular gun that shoots the 45 is the 1911. But just about everybody makes a 45 now. You know, Glocks, M&P, XD, Taurus, all the different 1911 manufacturers, even revolvers. Smith & Wesson 625, I believe, is a revolver chambered in 45 ACP. So there's all kinds of guns out there that shoot the 45 ACP. Now, let's talk a little bit about revolver cartridges. Let's talk about 38 Special and 357 Magnum. Most of you new folks have probably heard that a gun chambered in 357 Magnum will shoot either 357 or 38 Special. The reason being is because 38 Special is not really 38 caliber. It's .357, which is why the 357 Magnum is .357. I'm not sure how it got the name 38 Special. I think I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes. I read that one time how it got the name 38 Special, but it's pretty much the same diameter or pretty close. It's like within thousandths of an inch, somewhere within thousandths of an inch. So you can go ahead and you can shoot the 38 Special out of a 357 revolver. Obviously, you cannot do the opposite because the 357 Magnum is a longer cartridge. It won't fit inside the chamber of a gun chambered for 38 Special. Okay? So keep that in mind. So .357 caliber, .357 inches. I don't know what that translates to into 9mm. I don't know what it translates into millimeters. That's what I meant to say. It's fairly close to a 9mm. Once again, a very effective cartridge. 38 Special revolvers were used by law enforcement for many, many years here in the United States. And not really used much by law enforcement anymore because law enforcement wanted to switch to a semi-automatic gun, and that's one reason why Glocks became so popular. One reason that Glocks became so popular is that law enforcement wanted to get away from revolvers. They wanted a higher capacity pistol, and they wanted it to be semi-automatic, but they wanted it to be very simple like a revolver. They wanted it to literally be a point-and-shoot weapon that they didn't have to do a whole lot of extra training on. And so the law enforcement officers that were used to shooting their 38 Special revolvers or the 357 Magnum revolvers, all you had to do is basically draw, aim, and shoot. Same thing with a Glock. Very easy. No safeties to mess with and so forth. That's one of the reasons why I like them. And I like M&Ps with no safeties, and I like XDs with no thumb safeties. The grip safety's okay. I could take it or leave it on an XD gun. But I like the fact that most of them do not have any thumb safeties. Although there are versions of Smith & Wesson M&Ps with thumb safeties, and then there's also versions of the Springfield XDs with thumb safeties as well. Not really my cup of tea. If I'm going to carry a gun with a thumb safety, it's going to be a 1911 because, you know, I mean, that's the way it was designed. And so that's, if I'm going to carry a gun, I'm going to carry my Ruger 1911 if I'm going to carry something with a thumb safety. But that's a little bit about revolvers. Now, I'm going to go ahead and admit something to you. I'm fairly ignorant when it comes to the revolver cartridges. I'm not real knowledgeable on the revolver cartridges. I've owned revolvers in the past, but I don't have any revolvers anymore. I don't carry a revolver. So for some of you out there that have more history and data and things, send it to me on the 38 Special and 357 Magnum. But bullet-wise, they're pretty much the same. You know, 357 Magnum, 125 grain, has been very, very popular. That's been a super effective load. Ballistic testing on the 125 grain 357 Magnum has been awesome. You'll see a lot of 38 Special ammo in 158 grain. Especially the practice ammo, especially like the lead bullets, the lead round nose. You'll see a lot of that 38 Special lead round nose in 158 grain. There's Winchester White Box 130 grain. You'll see some 130 grain 38 Special. And I believe in 357 Magnum you'll also see 158 grain. But the most popular that I see for defensive purposes for sale is the 125 grain. And it's high-velocity stuff. I mean, it's really cooking out there. So, again, one of the reasons why it was so effective. Now, let's talk about the 357 SIG. Some people call it a relatively obscure cartridge. SIG, I guess, invented it or brought it to market, which is why it's called that. I don't know if I agree that it's obscure or that it's going to be obscure. Matter of fact, I think it's kind of becoming more popular. The 357 SIG is used by the Texas Department of Public Safety. There are quite a few other law enforcement agencies that use the 357 SIG, but not nearly as many as use the .40 caliber. The 357 SIG is really a 9mm bullet. If you measure the diameter of the bullet that's in a 357 SIG, it's 9mm. But it's stuck in a .40 caliber case. Well, how do they do that? Well, they neck down the casing. So if you look closely at a 357 SIG round, it's necked down at the top of the case to accommodate the 9mm bullet. The theory is it's a semi-automatic cartridge. So the theory is that bullet was designed, the 357 SIG cartridge was designed to mimic the 357 Magnum. But the 357 Magnum is a revolver cartridge, and the 357 SIG is a semi-automatic cartridge. And really, ballistically, it pretty much does mimic the 357 Magnum. And it's extremely effective. And this is one of the reasons why, the way that the 357 SIG is built, it's one of the reasons why you can take a gun that's .40 caliber and simply change the barrel and change the magazines and shoot 357 SIG. You can also do the opposite. You can take a gun that's chambered in 357 SIG, change a barrel, change the magazines, and shoot .40 caliber. Why? Because the casing is the same size. So the chamber and the slide and everything is built around the .40 caliber casing. And the extractor and everything's all set up for, so for example, a Glock, a 357 SIG Glock, because the 357 SIG and the .40 caliber casing is essentially the same, it's a really easy conversion and it works flawlessly. Same with the M&P guns. The 357 SIG is very, very effective ballistically because of the super high velocity. And if you go to Double Tap Ammo, for example, they put a lot of their velocities and their foot-pounds of energy and everything on their website. If you go and look at that, look at the major difference in velocity between the 357 SIG and the 9mm. Once again, same bullet, basically a 9mm bullet. As a matter of fact, a lot of 357 SIG ammo is the same weight, 115 grain, 124 grain, etc. Or pretty close to the same weight. But look at the velocity difference. The velocity difference is quite significant. And some people think this is one of the reasons why the 357 SIG is so effective. And again, you know, I hope you're not listening to this podcast before you're trying to go to sleep. Because if you are, you might already be asleep. Because some of this is boring stuff anyway. But I'm trying to make it as interesting as I possibly can here. And kind of give you my everyday guy's twist on all this information. Or my everyday guy's perspective is what I meant to say. So that pretty much covers the 357 SIG. Now let's talk about 10mm. You know, you've probably, if you follow Ted Nugent, you know he loves the 10mm. The 10mm is just that, 10mm in diameter. And I really don't know a whole lot about bullet weights in 10mm. One of my friends, Mark, that I shoot IDPA with, I know he's listening to this podcast. Mark, how are you? This is a shout out to you. Hope you're. He owns a Kimber 10mm, and I think he also owns a Glock in 10mm. And he loves to go to IDPA and shoot 10mm. He's been to a couple of Suarez International training classes with me, also shooting his 10mm. 10mm is a very powerful cartridge. Very powerful cartridge. And it's longer. It's got a longer case than the 40 caliber. Now, you can take a 10mm gun, and you can convert it to 40 caliber by doing a barrel and barrel swap out. You got to get a conversion barrel that'll convert the 10mm to 40 caliber because, once again, the case is a little bit smaller on a 40 caliber. Not quite as much powder in there. Therefore, some people say not quite as much power also. But you can change out the barrel and change out the magazines and convert a 10mm gun to a 40 caliber gun. You can't do the reverse. So you can convert from larger down to smaller, but you can't convert from smaller up to larger very easily, if at all. But very effective, 10mm. But again, remember, the size of the bullet, the diameter of the bullet of a 10mm and 40 caliber is the same. Okay, next, 44 Magnum, 44 caliber. 44 Magnum. At one time, the 44 Magnum was the most powerful handgun in the world. I think there's other guns now more powerful than the 44 Magnum. Pistols, anyway. It used to be the most powerful handgun in the world. Fairly sure that there's handguns out there now more powerful than the 44 Magnum. Once again, 44 Magnum guns, most of them very difficult to carry, for the most part, to conceal, but quite effective. You know, for home and property defense, it can be very, very effective. So can 10mm. Back to 10mm for a minute. A lot of handgun hunters like to use the 10mm as a hunting round because it's that effective. And, you know, especially those of you who reload. Those of you who reload, and if you reload 10mm, boy, you can really load some very nice hunting rounds in 10mm. You can also load some very nice 357 Magnum hunting rounds. In fact, Buffalo Boar is a commercial ammunition manufacturer, and they sell some 357 Magnum that has some very, very good ballistics. If you buy some Buffalo Boar 357 Magnum, not easy to find, but if you buy some of their 180 grain, very hot loaded stuff, and you shoot that out of a carbine like a lever action Marlin in 357, you can come pretty close to 30-30 ballistics. Do your research. Check that out. I'll try to put a link in the show notes, but you can do that. You can buy or load, if you're a reloader, you can buy or load 357 Magnum. Hot loaded stuff that comes close, not quite, but comes very close to the ballistics of a 30-30. So check that out. 44 Magnum. Boy, you shoot that out of a carbine, and that is also very, very effective. It's also very effective out of a Desert Eagle. I've shot Ben Branham's 44 Magnum Desert Eagle. Nice long barrel, big heavy gun. I've shot that many times. Well, I'll tell you what, if you bought some really hot loaded defensive ammo, that's a powerful, powerful gun, but try to conceal that. And good luck. Same with a large 44 Magnum revolver. Yes, I know there are people, some who have done it, but try to conceal that. And have fun. Enjoy. enjoy concealing that. So anyway, that's some of the more common calibers that are out there. And again, I wanted to try to cover some of the more common calibers and explain some of the differences and how some of them came about and why we have some of those calibers. And next, I want to talk about, I've been asked this question. People have been emailing me and asking me this question. Which of these calibers should I get? Well, that's a question I'm going to really, really answer very carefully, because I don't want to start a bar fight. That's kind of a metaphor there. But I don't want to start a huge argument on calibers. Again, that's bar fight discussion. Get a couple of shooters and sit them down at a bar stool, put some beers in them, and ask them which caliber is best, and be ready to play referee. I think it's kind of silly, some of the caliber arguments that people get into, because I do believe that all handguns suck. I think that came from Clint Smith originally. All handguns suck. They all are very ineffective when it comes to stopping power. Rifles and shotguns are much more effective in stopping power. But rifles and shotguns are much more difficult to conceal, so we carry handguns. Because of modern ammunition, there's not much differences in the calibers. I'm not saying there aren't any differences, I'm just saying there's not much. And you always have trade-offs. So something to consider if you're buying your first gun. First of all, what's more important to you, the size of the bullet or the capacity of the gun? I like to have pistols with a decent amount of capacity. I like to have a gun 10 rounds or more, most of the time. I like to have a pistol 10 rounds or more. Sometimes in 40 caliber and 45, it's not easy to find a small, concealable gun that holds more than 10 rounds. It's pretty easy to find them in 9mm. Okay, that's my preference. If you're comfortable with 7 or 8 rounds or 9 rounds in a 1911 and you want to carry that 45, that's fine. Good. If that works for you and it makes you comfortable, that's good. I like to have more capacity than that. I do carry a 1911 occasionally. It's not my primary carry. That's just kind of my feeling on it. So anytime you go to a larger casing and a larger bullet, you're either going to have to enlarge the size of the gun, which therefore compromises concealability, or you're going to have to compromise your capacity. I mean, it's pretty much that simple. You know, I've said it many times. I'm pretty comfortable with 16 rounds of Corban DPX in my Glock 19, or 16 rounds of double tap ammo, or Ranger T-Series 127 grain plus P plus, or Federal HST 124 grain plus P. Or Spear Golda. I'm pretty comfortable with those excellent 9mm loads, and I got 16 rounds on board. If I carry my Smith & Wesson Shield with the larger magazine, I got 9 rounds. 8 in the magazine plus 1 in the gun. My Car PM9, I can carry 7 rounds in the larger magazines plus 1. So that gives me 8. I'm getting a little bit below my capacity comfort level there with 8 rounds. I like 9, I like 10 actually, and I really like 16 rounds in a pistol. So, your choice once again. Some people like to carry subcompact guns with extended magazines that give them about 12 or 13 rounds, roughly. I'm of the thinking I would rather have as much capacity as I can get away with. Even if I have to step down in caliber slightly, because I train a lot. I train myself to shoot accurately and fast. I can always improve. But I like to have plenty of argument or plenty of ammunition. There's an old argument that says a gunfight's never been lost because the person had too much ammo. So think about that. Not sure if that's true, but think about that. Just think about that, okay? Would you rather have a lot of ammo or not enough? And so there are cases where you could say, hey, you know, 7 rounds might not be enough for me. 9 rounds might not be enough for me to make me feel comfortable. We find that a lot of bad guys work in teams, and you might be more than one bad guy you're facing. It could be 2 or 3. And if it's truly a life or death situation and you got two or three people that want to kill you, you might need more than what's in your five-shot revolver. You might need more than the six or seven rounds in your pocket 380. You might need more than the eight or nine rounds in your 1911. You might need 13 to 15 to 16 to even as much as 18 rounds. And why not? That's kind of my thought. Why not carry a gun if you can get away with it? Why not carry a gun with that much capacity? I forgot to mention when I was covering calibers, typically, for most new people, 9mm is usually pretty easy to shoot. So that's another consideration. 9mm is typically easier to shoot than .40 caliber or .357 SIG. And usually typically easier to teach new people than it is with a .45 ACP. That's why you see a lot of new people buying 9mm guns, and a lot of trainers will recommend to get a service-sized weapon, you know, a duty-sized weapon, something like a Glock 17 or an M&P full-size or an XD 4 or 5-inch chambered in 9mm. They're a little bit harder to conceal, but, you know, there's trade-offs. Or maybe get a mid-sized gun chambered in 9mm. And the polymer guns in 9mm seem to be really easy to shoot. During a class recently, I got a chance to shoot some M&Ps and XDs chambered in 9mm. I said, sweet shooting guns. I mean, really. The Smith & Wesson M&P, for example, it really tames recoil. And in 9mm, even with hot loads, those guns are very, very easy to shoot. The XD guns are easy to shoot. My Glock 19 is a very easy gun to shoot. So 9mm typically for most new shooters. And again, I'm not speaking to the experts in this podcast. I'm not speaking to you professionals. People requested that I do a caliber show for new shooters. I recommend 9mm quite a bit. So just kind of take that for what it's worth. That's my opinion. Okay, going to take a quick break because I'm at my next stop, my next sales call, but I do have some more information I'm going to share with you, so I'll be right back.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, I'm back to continue the caliber discussion. Let me make a couple of corrections on what I said in the first half of the podcast. When I say 9x19, what I'm talking about is it's a 9mm bullet, and 19mm is the length of the entire round. So 9x19, 9x18, 9x17. I think I said it was the length of the bullet, and I don't believe that that's correct. Now, the 38 Special, as I was talking about, the 38 Special is actually 0.357 to 0.358 inches, which is about 9.06 millimeters. So if you think about it, a 357 Magnum bullet is pretty close to 9 millimeter in diameter. It's about 9.06 millimeters. 38 refers to the approximate diameter of the loaded brass case, 0.38 inches. So that's kind of how it gets the 38 name. Again, the diameter of the loaded brass case is about 0.38 inches. Okay? But the 38 Special cartridge is actually 0.357 to 0.358 inches. Okay? So it's kind of a little confusing there. It's kind of convoluted. But essentially, you could shoot the 38 specials out of a 357 Magnum gun and not the other way around. So once again, quick review, 9mm, the size of that whole cartridge is 9x19. 9mm Makarov is 9x18, and a 380 is actually 9x17. By the way, to just kind of give you an idea, the 38 Special and how much longer it is, it's 9x29.5. Okay? So think about that. The metric measurement of a 38 Special is 9x29.5. So you think about it. A 9mm is 9x19. A 38 Special is 9x29. So quite a bit longer. Quite a bit longer. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's more powerful. It's just kind of the way that it was originally designed. For a long time, that cartridge was the most popular revolver cartridge used by law enforcement. I'm talking about the 338 Special. So once again, because that 38 Special cartridge is actually 0.357 to 0.358 inches, that's why you can shoot it out of a 357 Magnum. Okay, kind of wanted to clear that up, and I had a chance to, after this most recent break, my sales call that I made, I had a chance to kind of look some of that stuff up. And by the way, you'll notice that the 38 Specials come as low as 110 grain, and actually all the way up to about 200 grain, based on what I've been reading. So pretty versatile there when it comes to the revolver cartridges. Now, a little tidbit of information. I don't know if this matters to you or not, but one of the reasons why it was called the 38 Special, because it had 8 grains heavier bullet and 3 grains more of black powder than the 38 Long Colt. And the 38 Long Colt was, introduced back in the 1890s. So it was kind of another version of the 38 Long Colt, and it was called Special because it had a little bit heavier bullet by 8 grains, and it had a few more grains of black powder. Just a little trivia there for you. I don't know if that really matters or anything, or if you even care about that stuff. And again, this is supposed to be kind of geared towards beginners, so I'll try not to get, too technical and convoluted with the info, but I just wanted to throw that in there. Okay, so one more thing I want to say about selecting a gun, because I kind of cut myself short there because I had to make this sales call. Select something that is a popular caliber, in my opinion. That's kind of where I would go. I mean, there are a lot of unpopular calibers out there. In other words, not very widely used. 9mm, 40, and 45 are pretty much the three standards, at least in the United States. And it seems like that's most of the ammo that you can find. Even 357 SIG, as much as I like that round, a lot of people are buying 40 caliber conversion barrels for the 357 SIGs because it's easier to find 40 caliber practice ammunition. And I get that, and that's a good idea. So a lot of them buy a 40 caliber conversion, and then they carry it with 357 SIG. But it's much more difficult in most places to walk into a gun store and see 357 SIG on the shelf. It's much easier to find the 40 caliber on the shelf. So that's something to think about. Again, I'm a big believer in 9mm guns because of the capacity. The 40 caliber guns have pretty decent capacity as well. Yes, there are some 45 ACP guns out there, and there's some pretty large capacity 45s. But the problem with the large capacity 45s is many of them are big, bulky, and wide, and much more difficult to conceal carry. I'm a big believer that a gun is not much good to you if you don't have it with you. We never know exactly when we're going to be attacked by a bad guy. I mean, who can predict? Who really knows when, where, and how it's going to happen? You don't go looking for trouble, but sometimes trouble finds you, and you don't know when it's going to happen. Bad guys typically don't announce their intentions way ahead of time to give you time to select which gun you want to use to shoot them. It doesn't work that way. So what can you carry with you all the time? I have my Glock 19 with me, even though I'm making business calls. I'm dressed in such a way right now with an untucked business shirt with a straight tail. And by the way, I'm trying out the holster that David Scaife from Sturdy Belt sent me. He's got a hybrid holster. Kind of cool. So he's got his version of a hybrid holster as well. And I'm testing that out. And I'm also testing out something else that's been sent to me, which I'll cover in another podcast. But I'm concealing my Glock 19 just fine. And I got a patterned shirt. So by the way, let's get off of calibers for a minute. I highly recommend that you wear a shirt that's patterned, that has a pattern to it. It conceals a gun better. Also, dark colors like black and navy blue tend to conceal guns a lot better. But I've had this Glock 19 on many, many business appointments. Again, I can get away with a straight-tailed, untucked camp shirt with a logo on it. I don't always have to have a logo, my company logo. In fact, today I'm not wearing my company logo. But in my line of work, and again, yours might be different, I don't know, but in my line of work, I can get away with khaki slacks, an untucked, straight-cut, camp-style shirt. And I can pack a Glock 19 with the right holster and belt, no problem. Again, once again, you know, even if somebody sees a small little bit of something showing under my shirt, it could be a phone. I mean, my Glock 19 grip does not print any more than if I carried an iPhone under my shirt, on my waist, in an iPhone holster. There's no more printing. And by the way, I think Texas is going to change the law soon anyway, so that if we inadvertently show our gun, it will no longer be a crime. Looks like that's going to pass, and the governor's going to sign it. So, yeah, that's good stuff. As I understand it, again, I could be wrong, but as I understand it, that's the way it's going to work. It's not going to allow open carry, but that's kind of like the next best thing. My big complaint about the Texas law is that, you know, you could get charged with a crime if your gun accidentally prints, and I think we're going to change that. So when you're selecting your gun, the best thing I can tell you is analyze a few things. How much ammo can you get, and what ammo can you get? What is the likelihood of you being able to find ammo in the future? In other words, obscure calibers might be a little bit harder to find in the future than the common calibers. You know, 9mm 40 and 45, they're always going to be around. I mean, I can't foresee any reason why any of those calibers would get phased out. So I would suggest stick with one of those big three, as I call them. Analyze what capacity you want. How much onboard ammunition do you want? Also think about carrying your spare magazine. I got to say, a single stack magazine is typically easier to carry as a spare. However, using a DeSantis Magpacker in my pocket, I get no problem carrying my spare Glock magazines. I highly recommend these DeSantis Magpackers. You can get them at my everyday carry store. If you go to handgunworld.com and look at my EDC store, I've got them on there. By the way, look at everything in my everyday carry store. You'll see a lot of the items that I use. And there's direct Amazon links. You can buy them. And so there's my caliber discussion for new folks. And just kind of some recommendations. Once again, you know, if you got some more ideas and things, I might do a part two. So call into my voicemail, 210-646-1727, or shoot me an email, or get on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum and comment about this if you want. Join the forum if you're not a member of there. And check out some of the goodies on my website. Ben Branham and I have a couple of Beyond Concealed Carry Level 2 classes coming up very soon in Dallas and San Antonio. By the time you hear this, I'll be finished up teaching my Suarez International Close Range Gunfighting course. That's going to be fun to teach that. Again, like I said, by the time you hear this podcast, it'll be over. We have a 4-hour skill building workshop coming up, July 13th. We're going to work on reloads, moving and shooting, and malfunction drills. And then we're going to have a lot of fun. So about 2 hours of training and then 2 hours of steel shooting. We're going to have a man-on-man steel shooting contest. It's going to be pretty cool. $75 for 4 hours, it's a bargain. And we're going to do it, start at 9 o'clock in the morning so that it's still relatively cool outside for the entire class. That'll be in San Antonio. Check that out on my website. You'll see a page that says 4-hour class. Let's see, what else do we have coming up? Ben Branham is teaching in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's traveling out to Albuquerque. Check that out. Let's see. He's teaching Beyond Concealed Carry on his own, August 3rd. The reason I'm not going to be there is I can't travel that weekend because of my family situation, as most of you know. I can't go anywhere that weekend. So Ben's going to go out to the City of Albuquerque Shooting Range Park, and he's going to teach the One Day Beyond Concealed Carry course. So there will be a link on my website to sign up for that. There will also be a link at his website, modernselfprotection.com. Check that out. So sorry I can't be there for that one. Ben and I usually teach those courses together, but I just can't sneak away for that weekend. And by the way, for people who are members of the Lethal Ladies Club in Albuquerque, $99 special for that class. It's typically $150, but if you're a member of the Lethal Ladies Club, just email Lisa to get your $99 special. But again, that's on August 3rd, Saturday, 9 to 4 at the City of Albuquerque Shooting Range Park in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's see. I think that's pretty much all I want to do. Oh, one more thing. Don't forget about my Amazon store and the Shooters Club. The Shooters Club, we got a drawing coming up. We're giving away training classes, holsters, belts, ammunition. We're giving away a lot of stuff on June 1st and July 4th. We're also giving away a ticket to any class that Ben and I are teaching this year for 2013. So check that out. Become a member of the Shooters Club. Support the podcast that we do here, the work. There's great videos and audio podcasts on the Shooters Club. $75 for a one-year membership, and you get entered into the drawing for a bunch of giveaways. I mean, even 250 rounds of 9mm ammo, that's going to be worth a lot. So you can click the Shooters Club page to get signed up for that. And my Amazon store, as always, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, click my Amazon store at handgunworld.com. Buy it through my store. You'll help support the show. And I'm going to do a fundraiser. I'm going to do an Amazon fundraiser shortly and give back to the Gun Rights Radio Network and to the Second Amendment Foundation. That's going to start in August. But right now you'll be supporting my show by buying whatever you want to buy. Just click my Amazon store on my Amazon store page. Just click that link at handgunworld.com. Thank you. A lot of you are doing that, and I appreciate the support very, very much. That's it, folks. Thanks for listening to this 231st episode of the Handgun World podcast. Hopefully I gave you some things to think about, especially you new shooters on calibers, and maybe I answered a few questions. Again, if you got some more info or you want to set me straight on some errors I made, I probably made an error or two. Nobody's perfect. Go ahead and call my email, shoot me an email, whatever, and I'll probably talk about it next week. With that said, I'm Bob Main. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Remember that the loudest sound that any shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Catch you next week. Goodbye. Palestine and Berkeley.